Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Alrighty, let's try this again. Penny?
Take two.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Have you got us? Are we, is it all okay?
Yep, no, it's all good.
Oh, I love that. Okay, fashion is saved. And we're talking Pam Hogg today.
Yes, so Pam Hogg is a Scottish fashion designer who passed away last week. She never told people how old she was, but she was born in 1959, so around 66. And she's quite an interesting designer because, similarly to Vivian Westwood, she wasn't kind of recognised until later in life by the British Fashion Council and things like that. And she was fully independent, like unlike other designers where they kind of get bought out by a big fashion house but then continue to work under their name. And if you don't know her designs, I kind of would describe them as almost like glam rock, futuristic, cowboy, like just... And maybe even kind of, there's a lot of church robes and things like that. And I think that kind of lends to her spiritualist upbringing. She had spiritualist parents. She's dressed Rihanna, Kate Moss, Lady Gaga, Kylie Minogue, Taylor Swift, Blondie, Susie Sue. And she's known for her bright acid yellow coloured hair. And also her cat suits. So she... Her cat suits were very, very popular with a lot of performing artists. And I just wanted to read out this quote from one of her friends that said, "Pam's creativity was spirituality. Born to spiritualist parents, she moved through life with one foot in this world and one firmly rooted in the cosmic force. Every collection she did was channeled, blasted through from other realms, from her ancestors, from the deep wild pain of her unconsciousness. Pam channeled and birthed archetypes, warrior queens, witches, fierce female rebels, champions of the oppressed. From Palestine to LGBTQ kin, she stood fiercely for those whose voices were drowned out. Her work was activism, alchemy, and transcendence. And so some of her collections were, like, in 2014 she did a collab with Amnesty International on a collection shown at London Fashion Week that honoured Pussy Riot and LGBTQ plus in Russia. In 2023 she did a tribute to Vivian Westwood called They Burn Witches, Don't They? 2024 Apocalypse Show was dedicated to Sinead O'Connor, of Gods and Monsters, and 2024 spoke to the Palestinian genocide and conflict in the Congo. So she was really, really political, and she remained a struggling artist throughout her life. She's often, like, she sewed pretty much all her clothing, you know, did the pattern work, all that sort of thing. And the Guardian described her Hogg's creations were technically complex and her ideas developed as she executed them right up until the model set foot on the catwalk. Yeah, so it was, like, quite complicated, and often she was, like, making the clothes to her own body fit because she couldn't afford a mannequin and things like that. She did study at Glasgow School of Art and later did her master's at the Royal College of Arts in London, but she was self-taught in fashion and clothing.
Wow. And, it doesn't look like it.
I know, it's crazy, yeah. And she started as a, like, as a 5 or 6-year-old kind of upcycling her own clothes in Paisley, which is where she was born. And then her kind of, like, awakening came when she frequented the Blitz Club in the 80s, which we've spoken about before. She had several attempts to try and get past Steve Strange, who was the, you know, very vigilant kind of doorman. And she created new clothes each week to be able to go, because it was on a Tuesday night, and other club goers were inspired and asked her to make clothes for them. Her clothes did feature in Harrods, Bloomingdale's, and lots of music videos and magazines like The Face and ID. But what's quite interesting about her is that she then kind of, like, had a bit of a sabbatical and turned and focused on a music career.
Yes.
She was in a band called Rubbish that had supported the Pogues weekly, and then followed her boyfriend to the US and toured as part of the supergroup Pigface, which had members of Skinny Puppy, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, Martin Atkins of Public Image, Ministry, Killing Joke, that sort of thing. And then Debbie Harry came to the UK in 1993 and asked her to support her on her last few dates there. And so she formed a band called Doll, who later opened for the Raincoats. So she was kind of multi-talented.
Oh, my gosh. What a legend.
Amazing life, eh?
Amazing life. I love someone in fashion who can recognize how much deeper it goes. You know, it's not just clothes. You know, you can make a political statement in fashion and in music.
It's always political.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, she a friend shared the TED talk that she did, that's really, really interesting. And she kind of like really attributes her start in life to the fact that her parents, her dad was a gardener and her mum was a telephonist, but they were spiritualists. So they were like, you know, really about kind of what was happening around in the world and that sort of thing, and really imbibed that into their kids. And so she really attributes her creativity to that. And it's quite a great TED talk. Mm. So if you're interested, you know, do a bit of a Google and read about that. But even just looking at her clothing, it's so different, like every piece, but incredible, you know.
You can tell that she's had like a lot of fun making these pieces. They just are fun. The colors are so bright when she chooses to use color. Oh, they're incredible. Look it up, listeners. I think it's worth it.
Mm.
And like there was one show she did for the Barbican and Barbican exhibition in 2014, which is called The Vulgar Fashion Redefined. And we'd kind of done that dirty fashion recently, and this was a real one. And it had Dior and all the big names and, like, you know, really expensive couture and all that kind of thing. But she made her piece from 20-pound curtains that she bought at the market and plastic flowers, you know. But apparently you couldn't tell.
Oh,
so
I love it.
Amazing. Yeah.
So cool. Rest in power, Pam Hogg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Penny. Always a pleasure. You have an awesome week, and we'll catch up with you next Monday.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Penny. See you. Bye.
Bye.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
Go Cooler Music is giving away a guitar. Want to win it? Just text Go Cooler to 53955, spelled G-O-K-U-L-A, along with your B-card number and your favourite guitar player or riff, and you'll be in the draw to win a Torquay Legacy guitar. Tune in to Dirtbag Radio Monday, December 1st, from 7 to 9 p.m. to hear Rapley draw the winner. Cheers, Go Cooler Music, 378 Broadway, Newmarket.
Ah, La Luna, you're so bright tonight. I must take your picture.
I'm really unphotogenic.
Bah, I must capture your beauty. You light up the sky and my heart.
It's just my curse to be photographed badly.
But Luna, I brought new pro gear equipment.
Oh, okay then.
Capture that moon picture no one else can with equipment from ProGear Photographic. Buy, sell, trade or rent, ProGear can do it all. Open now at 34 Ethel Street, Morningside, or go to progear.co.nz.
This New Year's Twisted Frequency is back at it again with another f***ing epic party. Experience Aotearoa's annual home of underground music, art and community.
Expect a wild 5 days in the beautiful Golden Bay, surrounded by unreal tunes from hundreds of live performers and DJs across 4 unique stages that run non-stop. Twisted Frequency Festival, December 30th to January 3rd.
Get tickets and more info at twistedfrequency.nz.
We'll be right back.
FM news headlines.
FIRKNA coming up in the news on the hour. Youth vaping rates have halved since 2022, according to a survey of over 30,000 Year 10 students in New Zealand. Biosecurity New Zealand is escalating its efforts to eradicate invasive yellow-legged hornets amidst ongoing sightings in Auckland's North Shore. Dozens have been arrested after the halting of two cargo ships at one of the world's biggest coal ports in New South Wales. And Venezuela has condemned US President Donald Trump's threats to the country's airspace. Whakarongo tonu mai. Stay tuned for these stories in full and more on The Hour.
Thank you, Theo.
Alrighty.
This is how we brew it.
On 95BFM Breakfast, thanks to 8:30 Coffee Roasters.
Sorry, I got so excited.
Just itching to get into it.
I actually am. I'm so excited. I love This Is How We Brew It. I love when Christian comes up to talk to us.
Hey, Christian.
G'day. How's it going? Yeah, good. Good.
Good. Nice. Yeah, we're good. Big weekend. You went to Rufus to Soul.
Yeah, I went to Rufus. Yeah. Yeah. What an amazing event that was. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, just nice fun in the sun. We were at the other's way, so.
Yeah.
Plenty of fun in the sun to go around.
It was a beautiful day. Sun. Got a little glow on today, so happy days.
Happy days. Happy summer.
Love it.
We've got something very exciting. We've got the organic blend to talk about, and we're going to chat a little bit about sustainability
in coffee. Yeah, yeah. So it's a topic that we get asked about all the time. Particularly, you know, the organic coffee. But just how, I mean, people want sort of products that are better for people and the planet, right?
So cut out.
Yeah, so we kind of we lean into that a lot at 8:30. Yeah.
What can you tell us about the process of how organic coffee comes about? Because I mean, most people when they think organic, it's just like spray free, right? But what does the process actually involve?
Yeah,
the bean.
No, that's pretty much it. Yeah. spray free, synthetic pesticides and all of that sort of thing. So that's the coffee that we source is guaranteed by the supplier. Mm-hmm. Having just been grown without those things. So yeah, it's not always a quality based thing. It's just sort of one of those things of, you know, if you want to live like that, that's the choice that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Is that, like, in terms of organic, like, sourcing organic coffee, is that one of the main priorities in terms of sustainability? Or, like, what else goes into it when you're trying to produce and roast coffee in a sustainable way?
Yeah, it is actually a tricky one for a lot of coffee roasteries because, you know, coffee is primarily grown in other parts of the world. So
yeah, right. The carbon footprint.
Yeah, the carbon footprint's a really tricky one to manage. But, yeah, I think for a lot of coffee roasteries, it's just about, you know, minimising that impact. Mm-hmm. At 8:30 we've got a roaster that uses 80% less gas than sort of other roasters that you can use in terms of the actual machinery and hardware. So that's called a Loring Kestrel roaster. And pretty much what it does is just recycles the gas through in a different way, different part of the process. We're kind of recycling as we roast.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah,
it is cool. Groovy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And am I right in thinking that you were one of the first companies to use buckets as opposed to big coffee bags?
Yeah, for our wholesale customers. When coffee gets shipped around the motu, we put it in buckets and send it to our customers so that they fill their hoppers up with those buckets instead of, using the 1 or 2 kilo bags that we have. Mm-hmm. That saves quite a few tons a year in waste from those cafes. And then what they do is they send the buckets back to us or our delivery driver picks them up and then they get refilled with coffee and go back out to the other customers. So
cool.
Are those beautiful little tin buckets I've seen?
Yes.
I have seen those. They're really cute.
I was at Bestie over the weekend. Shout out Bestie.
Yeah, Bestie. Bestie. Yeah.
And I had delicious coffee.
Yeah.
I had a delicious iced latte with oat milk made with beautiful 8:30 beans. What blend did Bestie use, do we know?
I think they use the standard.
Yeah.
Nice.
Really good.
Yeah, classic. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
And I looked up above the coffee machine and saw these beautiful 8:30 tins and I thought, oh.
They're actually gorgeous. Quite chic.
They're right.
Yeah. I feel they kind of also work on a little bit of a marketing plan. Like, way cooler than a dirty old brown bag.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they can be reused again, so it's even better. Yeah.
Totally. Oh, that's an excellent work on that front.
from 8:30.
Hell yeah.
You know,
it's
not always easy in the world of coffee.
No, it is like I say, it is a tricky one to kind of, but really it's all about minimizing that impact and offsetting and all of that sort of thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay, organic blend.
Yes. Give it a rustle. Not so tightly packed this week, I feel.
Oh, yeah, thanks for taking my feedback on board. I really
feedback
appreciate
passed
it.
On,
it's
yeah.
really good for the radio ASMR.
The shaking. Love it.
It's a gorgeous blend. These tasting notes sound divine. Sweet caramel, dried cranberry, spices and florals.
Mm. Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah. We were talking about it last week too. Great. It's tasting really good at the moment. Because like I said, coffee is a strange one. You can't always secure the same coffee every week or every month. So you've got to sort of try and keep changing the blends to make sure that they keep tasting like those tasting notes.
Okay.
But you might have had coffee from Peru last week, but you can't get that one anymore because it's run out or they've run out of supply or it's not in New Zealand anymore. So, yeah, you've got to keep changing those components, we call them, to keep getting those tasting notes. So it's a tricky one for our coffee department to keep nailing it. But, yeah, whatever's in it this time is, tasting phenomenal. So.
I like the look you just gave it then. You were like, well,
whatever they put in this.
Just eyeing it up.
It's bloody good.
I was eyeing it up, actually.
Yeah, actually, you were. That's amazing. So our organic blend has come from three places, Colombia, Peru, and Nicaragua.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so a bit of a mix in there. But, those same tasting notes too, so... And I thought it's a good one too because we were talking about affogatos last week too.
Yes.
So
it's affogato season.
Affogato season. It's cold brew season.
Yum.
It's,
I need to get my hands on some Ethiopian cocoa chalet to brew myself a little cold brew.
Yeah. Yep.
That, like, you guys aren't even going to know me after that. it's gonna do something to me. I can tell already.
It's been in my fridge for like a week now. And it's so good. After last week's segment, I was like, actually, I'm going to brew that cold brew. And it's been in my fridge.
Cold brew?
So good.
I feel like we should do a whole one of these about cold brew one day because I care deeply about cold brew. And it's actually much easier to make at home than people think.
It sounds really intimidating.
Easy.
No, it's not. It's just like, it's like you just pour coffee and cold water together and then whack it in the fridge for a bit and then strain it and then you got cold brew pretty
much. The only frustrating part is you have to wait 24 hours. That's the worst part about it. But so long as it's ground coffee, or if you've got a grinder at home, grind it up yourself. And then it just goes in the fridge for 24 hours with some cold water and see you later. There it is.
Yummo.
Patience is a virtue that you possess, then that could be you.
That's you this summer.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Well, love this organic blend. Listeners, if you'd like to win a bag of this organic blend this week, all you have to do is text word 830 with one word and one T, that is, and your name and your B card number, and you'll be in the draw. We'll reveal the winner on Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. If you just can't wait to get your dirty little hands on some organic blend or maybe some new Ethiopian cocoa chalet or any of the other wonderful blends and single origins on offer at 8:30, head over to their website 830.com and use the code 95BFM in the discount box to get 10% off. How good.
Unreal.
Thank you 830.
Thank you, Christian. This is exciting. I actually really enjoy having a blend for music selections because we've got three wonderful countries to choose from: Colombia, Peru, and Nicaragua. I found a newer release out of Peru. Well, actually, this person is based in Berlin, but they're from Peru, and her name is Alejandra Cardenas, Alehop. And she's just put out a new album, A Body Like a Home. It's quite left field and experimental, and there's some really cool stuff on there. There's a bit of like spoken word and some more sort of ambient textural sort of stuff. But the track we're going to listen to is called Early Road.
Thank you.
was
This Is How We Brew It
on 95BFM Breakfast, thanks to 830 Coffee Roasters.